Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
It's great to have you here on this wonderful Sunday, the first Sunday in August. Who can believe it's August already? Crazy, I know. Where has the year gone? And so today, for the start of August, we start a brand new series, which is called Legacy. And when we think of this word, legacy, our mind, I don't know if it's just me, maybe if you usually goes to something that may be, you know, a long way off, something in years to come, maybe something, you know, from after we've passed from this life to the next. In fact, the dictionary even defines it as either an amount of property or money left to someone in a will, or something left or handed down by a predecessor. And so for most of us, that probably seems like this thing off, way off in the distance, way, you know, down the track, and maybe it's not really applicable for me right here, right now. And I know we're all in different stages and seasons of life, and you know, you have those times where you just feel like you're aging. Do you know what I mean? Does anyone have those? No, just me. Maybe it's with you know, maybe it's when there's physical exercise happening or something. But I remember a couple for me, and I know a lot of you are gonna shout me down and say just be quiet. But I remember when I turned 30 a few years ago. Yeah, I know, I'd get that reaction. But it wasn't turning 30 that was the thing for me. It was a couple of months later. The first time when someone asked me how old I was, and I went to go twerk, oh, I'm 30. It was the used to saying 20 something for so many years, and then it clicked over. Something actually changed. I had another one. I know I'm just sort of like airing my, you know, personal grievances here, but I had another one the other day because I renewed my WA driver's license for 5 years and realized, that's right, for 5 years, come on. Paid the big bucks for the 5 year one and realized that the next time I renew it, I will be 43. Oh, dear Lord, pray for me now. Pray for me now. A little trick I've learned just to help you out, try and make friends with people that are older than you. It makes you feel so much better about yourself. Joking. I know everyone's left now, right? See ya. But today we want to discover that legacy is not something that's just way off in the distance. It might come years down the track, but it's something that's applicable for us no matter our stage, no matter our age of life, right here and right now. And so right up front, I want to let you know that leaving a legacy is not a one-time event, but it's a journey. So leaving a legacy is not just something that happens one day, but it's a journey each and every day. Gary Vaynerchuk says this. He says, please think about your legacy because you're writing it every day. Legacy is not something far off in the future. It's right here, right now. It's for us each and every day. And so when it comes to this theme of legacy, and for us as Elevation, it has special significance because it's what we give the theme to our financial giving, which is over and above our regular giving, and I'll update you and let you know some exciting news on that a little bit later on. But right now, we're gonna look at a section of the Bible, and we're gonna start to discover some things about legacy. And so the section that we're gonna look at over this week and next is in Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible, chapters 11 through to 13. Now, don't fear, I'm not just gonna straight read three chapters of it to you right now, but we're gonna have a look and we're gonna discover some things about legacy, because there's a guy named Abram, who later becomes Abraham, who it's pretty important that we understand what it is about legacy and what we can learn from him. And so if you're wondering why should I care about this guy Abraham, I'll give you a little short list of some of his credentials. Right near the end of the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer lists some great men and women of old who displayed amazing examples of faith. Now, Hebrews is right near the end of the Bible. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. And in Hebrews 11, Abraham plays a really big role. There's a whole bunch of different verses that you can read later on that explain what Abraham did. And basically, he's known as the father of faith. Not only that, in Matthew chapter 1, the start of the New Testament, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, like where he comes down from his family line, starts with Abraham. And so there's something powerful that we can learn from Abraham's life. And if we're looking at learning about legacy, he's a pretty hard person to argue against because he left a legacy. And so he turns up first in Genesis chapter 11, verse 27. He's listed as a son of a guy called Terah. And he's married to Sarai, who the Bible says in verse 30 of chapter 11 was unable to become pregnant and has no children. An important thing to note at the start of that is that Terah has this other son. He has a couple of other sons, but one of them is called Haran, who dies while Terah is still living. But where we're going to pick up the story is verse 31 of chapter 11. It says this, it says, one day Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, that's his son Abram's wife, and his grandson Lot, his son Haran's child, and moved away from Ur of Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan, but they stopped at Haran and settled there. Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. Now that all sounds pretty standard. It all sounds, plain and simple, but it's important that we don't skip over a couple of small details. It says that this guy, Terah, was headed to this land of Canaan, but stopped and settled somewhere else. The place's name was Haran, which interestingly is the same name as the son that he lost previously. And so that's where Terah finishes his life. He's heading to Canaan, but he stops short in Haran and he finishes his life there. The Bible then continues into chapter 12 of Genesis. It says this, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Now, interesting, it says God's speaking to Abram, and he says, go to a land that I will show you. Can you maybe guess what that land was that God was talking about? If you guessed right, it's the land of Canaan. It's the land where his father Terah was headed, but stopped short and settled somewhere else. You see, this is deeper than just, understanding what an ancient people did. This is more than just ancestry.com or something like that. There is something in here that God wants to show us and inspire us with and reveal to us. You see, Terah was planning on heading to a place that God would later reveal as the promised land. And for whatever reason, he stops short and he settles short of God's promise. Now, we don't know why. The Bible doesn't explain it, but maybe there's a hint that he settles in the same place that's named after the son that he lost. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's wanting to relive a past that is gone. We don't know, but we know that Abram, remember, the one who leaves a legacy, the one who's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the one who's the father of faith, the one who's the start of the line of Christ. By contrast, he hears God's call at the start of chapter 12 to leave behind what he knows, to leave behind what is safe, and to follow God to a land, like it said in the scripture, as God spoke to him, that I will show you. And that's exactly what Abram does. That's the start of his journey to become a person that leaves a legacy. Remember, it's not just what's left at the end. It's what we live out day by day. Remember, it's about leaving a legacy in our everyday things. So if we're going to be a people, no matter what our age, no matter what our stage or season of life is like, that leave a legacy, then there's a few things that we can learn from Abram. And the first one is this, is leave and follow. Leave and follow. When God spoke, Abram left his native lands and followed God. It's the same word that Jesus speaks to Peter and the disciples thousands of years later and says to them while they're fishing, would you leave your nets and follow me because I'm going to make you fishers of men. Pastor and author Erwin McManus says this. He says, to follow Jesus is to enter the unknown, relinquish security, and to exchange certainty for confidence in him. How powerful is that? Just, you know, how it just blows God. To follow Jesus is to enter the unknown, relinquish security, and to exchange certainty for confidence in him. You see, to live a life each and every day that leaves a legacy, whether that's a legacy in your work colleagues, whether that's a legacy with your fellow high school students, whether that's a legacy with your children, with your friendship circle, or just the wider community, God will call us to leave some native lands. He'll call us to step out. Does that mean we all should be missionaries and move to other countries? Well, probably most of us know, some of us maybe, but there's more than just staying where we are physically. God's not just talking about that. There are some things that we need to leave behind in our past to follow God's call. For some of us, maybe we need to leave behind the opinions of others. Maybe you're a high school student here and you love God and you follow him, but just feel crippled by maybe what the opinions of other students, what people think. If people knew at school how you really felt about God, then maybe, you know, it just wouldn't work out that well for you. I know, because that was me in high school. I've been there. And I want to tell you that God wants us to leave some things. And maybe for us, whether we're a teenager, whether we're, you know, a lot older than a teenager, maybe leaving the opinions of others to follow God's call is something that God's speaking to us. Maybe there's some things in your family of origin that need to be left behind. Maybe some bitterness. Maybe a cycle of holding grudges. Maybe a mentality of stinginess and just holding and hoarding what you can because you never know what's going to happen. Just, you know, keep it to ourselves. Maybe there's in your family of origin, there's a pattern of exercising control over loved ones. There might be a religious mindset that I need to work to please God, that I need to hit a certain goal to make sure that God loves me. But I know for all of us, there's some things in our past that just like God called Abram to leave his native land and to follow him, that we need to step into. We need to leave some things behind and we need to step into something new. Because you see, we all have things in our family. We all have things in our past that God's calling us to leave behind. And I know that our kids will as well. For parents here, I'm not sure if you feel this way, but I feel like we will send our kids to counseling. We know that at some point, just what our goal is as least counseling as possible needed afterwards. You know, do you know what I'm saying? That's generally the goal. We know we make mistakes. We know we stuff up. We know there's going to be some things that need to be, that they need to leave behind, but our goal is to make that as little as possible. We're all in the same boat. All of us have things in our past, things in our families, things in the way that we grew up or maybe how we've lived over the last 20 years that we need to leave behind and follow the call of God. Follow what he has for our lives. For us to leave a legacy, God wants to speak to us about what we need to leave behind and follow him, no matter our age, no matter our stage of life. The call is to leave and follow. The call is to leave and follow. And I want to challenge you this morning. The call is to leave and follow. Some things in our heart, some things in our life. The call is to leave those behind, some things from our native lands, and follow the call that God has for our lives. Now, all this talk about Abraham may leave us thinking that, you know, he was following God's call and means that this guy was like, you know, super Christian and never did anything wrong, was always in faith and was always overcoming and all this sort of thing. But just later in chapter 12, he's in this land, Canaan, so where God called him to. And he's been there, he's heard from God again, but there's a famine in the land at the time. And so he heads over to Egypt because they had food and he didn't. And then as he's heading there, something strange happens. Remember, this is father of faith. This is the guy who stepped out of his past into his future. But then look what happens in chapter 12, verse 11. It says, as he was, that's Abram, approaching the border of Egypt, Abram said to his wife, Sarai, look, you are a very beautiful woman. That's a good start, husbands, if you're talking to your wives. Verse 12, then it sort of goes downhill from there. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, let's kill him. Then we can have her. So please tell them you are my sister. What? Then they will spare my life and treat me well because of their interest in you. And sure enough, When Abram arrived in Egypt, everyone noticed Sarai's beauty. When the palace officials saw her, they sang her praises to Pharaoh, their king, and Sarai was taken into his palace. Then Pharaoh gave Abram many gifts because of her: sheep, goats, cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord sent terrible plagues upon Pharaoh and his household because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh summoned Abram and accused him sharply. "What have you done to me?" he demanded. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister and allow me to take, why didn't you tell me she's my wife and she's my sister and allow me to take her as my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and get out of here." Pharaoh ordered some of his men to escort them, and he sent Abram out of the country along with his wife and all his possessions. Holy dooly. I'm not sure if you just saw that, but the father of faith, the guy who stepped out of his native land, the guy who followed God's call, gets to Egypt and says his wife is his sister. Why? Because he's worried about what will happen. And then not only that, he doesn't just say it, the king Pharaoh takes her as another one of his wife, and then God's like, this is messed up, so I'm going to mess it up even more. Here's some plagues and stuff. And Pharaoh's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Get out of here. Get yourselves out. You guys are just too crazy. Like, this is like Desperate Housewives on steroids. Like, this is like, you know what I mean? Like, this is way above what we think. And you might be wondering, well, if that's Abram, is this really a guy that we should be learning from? Is this really a guy that we should be saying, should we leave a legacy? And you know, the powerful thing about the Bible is that it doesn't show us super people who are always right. It doesn't show us these great men and women of faith that always had it together. It shows us some messed up people. And that's great because it helps us to relate because we understand that. Maybe not the wife is your sister part. That's like the extreme version. But we understand that there is something in this that Abram, even though he was did some amazing things, he also did some crazy things. But something that's important to understand, and we'll, as we do more of the story next week, we'll discover. But Abram doesn't let this failure become fatal. He could have let this mistake, albeit an absolutely massive one, stop him from ever following God again. He could have curled up in self-pity. He could have been beating himself up forever. But what we need to understand today is that we all make mistakes. Hopefully not our wife, as our sister one. But part of being on the journey of leaving a legacy is understanding that we can't let these mistakes define us. And so number two is, don't let past mistakes dictate your future. Don't let them dictate your future. They'll rob you of the call of God on your life. They'll rob you of leaving a legacy each and every day if we camp back in our mistakes, if we camp back in our failings, if we camp back in these things that where we let ourselves down, where we let God down. When we make mistakes, we repent before God, we make amends, we repay, we restore relationships, we forgive ourselves, we forgive others. Just like the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, but if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. You see, it's one thing to make a mistake. It's one thing to make a misjudgment, a wrong decision, but it doesn't have to define our future. No matter what it was, no matter how big it was, this one was pretty messed up, but it doesn't have to define our future. Whatever mistakes you've made, I want to encourage you that God can handle them. If we confess to Him, He is faithful to forgive us. If we confess to Him, if we come before God and say, I'm sorry, I messed this up, God is faithful to forgive us. He doesn't want us to camp back in where we were. I remember as a kid having a Christian tape, because I'm old enough to have Christian tapes, not old enough to grow up with Christian records, but we'll just go there. But I remember it had this song on it, and this song had this line in it, and all I can remember, it says this. It says something like, God throws your sin in a lake with a big sign on it that says no fishing. Does anyone remember that, or is it just, nope, just me? Excellent. Well, that's all right. We'll just say it's a New South Wales thing. It's all right. But this line in this song that God throws your sins in the lake or in the ocean with a big sign that says no fishing. And what a great picture that is, because so often we go and we fish out our mistakes. We replay where we've messed up. We go and we cast out and get a bit of regret, get a bit of shame, get a bit of those sins of commission. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I went there. I can't believe I looked at that. I can't believe I responded to that. And the sins of omission. Oh, I can't believe I didn't do that. Didn't speak to that person. Didn't make more of a difference. Didn't spend time. And we get this fishing rod. We cast it into this lake where we're supposed to, because God says that he casts our sin as far as the east is from the west. But we start fishing and pull up all the mistakes, pull up all the past. But we need to make sure that we don't let the past haunt us and follow us wherever we go. God wants us to be free of the past. He wants us to be free of the past, because if we're going to leave a legacy, we've got to be free of our past mistakes. We've got to be free of the maybe the opportunities that we didn't take, maybe the time we didn't redeem as best we could, because God's got something for our lives in our future. And legacy is not something way, way, way off. It's each and every day. It's today I'm writing my story of legacy this way. Tomorrow I'm writing my story this way. As I'm at school, and I'm only there for, you know, a few years as a high school student, I'm leaving a legacy with the friends that I have there right now. As I'm at work, and, you know, work seasons change, and who knows what's going to happen in the future. But right here, right today, I'm going to leave a legacy of love. I'm going to leave a legacy of listening. I'm going to leave a legacy of caring for others in my workplace, in my family. I don't know about yours, but our kids love reminding us about how many years till they drive, how many years till this happens, how many years till this is going to go. It goes short. And so God's calling us to leave a legacy right here and right now with what we have and with what we can. And, you know, even right now, maybe there's someone here that needs to make a decision today to leave behind some of the ways that they've lived and follow Jesus. In a few moments, I'm gonna take a couple of minutes to unpack what legacy is giving looks like for us as a church over this next season. But right here, right now, maybe someone needs to say yes to Jesus. Maybe someone needs to say, you know what, I've been living my own way. I've been living my own life, but I need to leave that behind. I need to follow God. I need to leave the past. I need to make sure that past mistakes don't dictate my future. And I need to follow after God. And so right now, would you just bow your heads and close your eyes wherever you are? And I want to give you an opportunity. We're going to pray a prayer in just a moment. And if you'd like to be included in this prayer, I'd love you just to lift your hand right where you are. We're going to pray together, and then we're going to move on, talk about legacy. But right now, is there someone like that? You need to say, yes, today, I'm leaving a legacy. Today, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to follow after him. Right now, we thank you, Jesus. Is there someone like that who wants to respond and say yes to following Jesus? Right now, church, let's pray this prayer together. Let's say, dear Lord Jesus, today, I'm going to follow after you. I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. And I leave my past mistakes in the past. From this day forward, I'm following you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on, can we just give God a great, great applause for all that he does in our lives? Amazing. So I want to take a few moments to talk about legacy as giving for us as Elevation. And so what legacy offering is, it's a giving above and beyond our regular giving to see specific vision projects completed. Our regular giving, which we talk about each Sunday, our tithes and our offerings, that goes towards our what's called our operational budget, so running everything that we need to do, like paying the mortgage, you know, water, power, making youth ministry work, making all our ministry areas happen, wages, that sort of stuff. All that is what's called our operational budget, which happens from our regular giving. But as I said, legacy is additional giving. It's above and beyond that. and it's offerings that not go to, you know, turning the power on and making operational things run, but they're projects that push our vision forward. They're projects that expand us as a church, like our word is for this year about expanding the borders of our tent, about pushing out beyond, about stepping out in faith and making a difference and believing God that we're going to see, we're going to continue to see the growth that's come and see that expand more and more. So if you were part of Elevation around May last year, you would have heard us speak on that. It was a 12-month our legacy campaign that ran from May last year to the start of June this year to raise money for some specific projects. And that was something that we did right across Elevation as a whole. It included some local projects and included some central ones as well. So obviously that campaign finished when we had no physical gatherings. So we want to bring a celebration and update around that today like we did on our all-in night. If you were there on Wednesday night, we've got a couple of updates as well. So don't tune out. They're pretty exciting. So I'm going to share those with you in a sec. But we can celebrate because over that period of legacy giving, we had $14,530 given towards legacy, which is amazing. So we want to say thank you for your giving, thank you for your support. What that was able to do is centrally as Elevation, we started two new Elevation church plants. And so as you sowed into that, that went towards that, both in New South Wales, one in Tamworth and one right on the north coast of New South Wales in Byron Bay. So that's exciting. You were part of that as you gave as a church, as you were on board, you were part of that. And then we did some upgrades here of production equipment for us to upgrade our services, microphones, lights, that sort of thing, which is awesome. So we did all that and we still have $5,000 in the bank for legacy, which is awesome. That's exciting. And so there were some local things around the building that we talked about last year that we haven't been able to do yet because we didn't reach our goal, but that's what we want to speak about now because we believe that this year is a time for expansion. There's something about expanding our physical building to help facilitate the growth that's occurred and will continue to occur over the coming season. Now, like I said, take note if you're here on Wednesday night because there's been some updates. So you gotta roll with us for a second. So number one thing we want to do with our legacy giving this year, and so for this year's legacy, we're not going to run it for 12 months. We're just going to run it from now until the end of the year. So a short one from August through to Christmas. So a couple of things we want to do and that I want to share with you. Number one is we want to expand our foyer space. I love prayer, but we don't necessarily love praying every single week. Lord, please let it be sunny on Sunday. He's been pretty good. But we want to expand our foyer space. It's too small. The foyer is important. Why? Because church is more than just a message, a few songs, and a quick hello, and then go home. We want to create space for community. We want to create space for connection. So what we're going to do is we're going to knock down the wall that's between our foyer and our smallest kids' room so that the smallest kids' room becomes foyer. You'll see it on the posters out there, which are new, even though they're the same colors. So make sure you check them out. But we're going to knock a big hole through that wall so that the little kids' space becomes a bigger foyer. Now, I know what you're thinking. What does that mean for our kids' space? Well, we're going to enlarge the kids' space as well. And so we have sort of like the back quarter of the building, which has been our storage, and we haven't renovated yet. We're going to transform that into a large space for kids' ministry, which means new paint, new floor coverings, technology upgrades, plus a bunch of other things. And this will provide an awesome space for our ever-growing kids' ministry. So we're going to do that, which is exciting. And here's the update as well. Number three, and we did talk about this last year, but we're going to do a outside, like al fresco area, so out the front of the building. When you're looking at the building as you walk in to the left, it's going to be like a fixed roof cover. It's going to be like cafe seating out there. And just an incredible space that is not just great for Sunday, but I see like a young adult's life group hanging out there on a Thursday night. I see youth using that on a Friday night. The people would drive past like, oh wow, is there like a restaurant out the front there? Or like well maybe not if it was youth ministry because it's probably like hot dogs and lollies, but you know, but they love it. But what's going on here? You know, on a Wednesday night as worship team meets and rehearses and does a meal together and it's summer and it's out there and it's amazing as toddler jams here on Friday morning. morning, and it's a massive resource and something that for mums and carers and families to come and gather this amazing space. And so to do all that, our goal is $23,500. Now, the good news, like I said, is that we have $5,000 in the bank already. So we're doing the sums here. We'll flick the next slide up again. Yep, thanks, Tina. That's right. So we have $5,000 in the bank already, and which is awesome. But also the additional news from Wednesday night is that since we shared this vision on Wednesday night, we've had some significant contributions from some people that have that capacity to give and be behind Legacy. And so for Legacy, even though we only talked about it Wednesday night, we actually have already $13,000 given towards Legacy, which is amazing. Which we say praise God for, because on Wednesday night our goal was 6.5 and by about Friday we had 13. So, you know, it's just God slapping us around for bigger faith. No. We said we always have more vision than resources. So that's awesome. And then what that means, next slide, thanks, is that we're believing that an additional $5,500 will be pledged and given into Legacy between now and the end of the year. And as we do that, as we all play a part, as we all, for those of us that call Elevation Home, go, you know what, I can't do everything, but I can do something. I can play a role in that. Imagine that we get to the end of the year and there's bigger foyer space, there's great space outside, there's kids' facilities upgraded. Why? Because we want to make a difference in our community. We want to make a difference in what God's doing. Obviously, God is doing something. God is doing something. I ran and talked to Pastor Miles about it Friday, and he's like, God's doing something. Let's encourage people to jump on board and be a part, because God's moving this place. There's something supernatural. There's miracles that are taking place. There's healing that's coming. There's resource. Come on, we can give God a better clap than that. There's things that are happening in this place. Because why? Because there's a vision for God to move. Because there's people that need to find Christ. Because our responsibility is not to save people, because only Jesus does that, but our responsibility is to create an environment where people can come in and find that life and find that purpose and find that hope. And so I want to encourage you from today, would you go away and would you think and pray, would you prayerfully consider how you can be a part of Legacy? You'll